Hey guys, welcome to our episode about the Amish. Hope you enjoy it. Here's a little preview for the full episode, which is available to patrons on our Patreon. We have an awesome Patreon. We just updated some of the descriptions to make them a little bit easier to understand. So please go and check out our Patreon. And if you're interested, you can get this full episode of our Amish episode. And we have a bunch of other episodes as well. That are exclusively for patrons, and we have our Dank Dungeons and Drunken Dragons, and we have all kinds of other fun stuff that you can check out, so be sure to do so. And that's it. Check it out. We gotta go back to, like, the 16th century.
Whoa, that's far back.
Jesus Christ.
So I got this chart here. This is all... This kind of just shows the history of Christianity in a very generalized way. With all
in the beginning, it was one line
and stuff,
and it was good.
Yeah. So early Christianity, great church. You have the 11th century, the Great Schism. That's not really important here. It split off into two major churches: the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. But around the 16th century here, there was this huge Reformation. There was all sorts of radical reforms. The Lutherans probably being the most famous to split off from the Catholic Church, but also the Anglican, the Calvinist, the
it's
Restoration movement, whatever the fuck that is. Yeah, it's the Protestant Reformation.
Suppression from the See of Rome, TJ.
Yeah, and then
a sad day.
One of the splinters was the Anabaptists, which I'd never heard of.
I would guess just from reading it, because I've never heard of them either, but I would guess just from reading it, it's something. It means, like, you don't have to be baptized.
No.
No.
Their belief, I'll go ahead and read you a little bit about them here. So in the 16th century, like I said, there's a lot of radical reform groups. The group, the Anabaptists, their name means one who baptizes again.
Whoa.
Man, they like it so much, they thought
you needed, like,
you needed more Dunkins.
Yeah, you just need another dunk.
So you're wrong, Paul.
Well, no,
it's multiple dunks.
Well, no, that's actually not what it's about. But
What's a lie then?
That was actually a name given to them to be derisive towards them. It was given to them by their persecutors. It's basically referring to the practice of baptizing persons when they converted or declared their faith in Christ, even if they had been baptized as infants. Because, you see, they don't believe that... Their basic logic was, hey, you could baptize a baby, but it's not really choosing that.
Right.
That's just something that's being done to it. It's not making
so
a choice.
They were like, you need to be baptized as an adult when you can make the choice.
Right.
That sounds actually a little bit better. I mean, it's still bullshit, but...
But it ran afoul of this doctrine because some of these people were baptized
as Catholics,
infants and being rebaptized.
Right. And, you know, it was controversial. Obviously, the Catholic Church doesn't like to lose business to anybody, especially not at this time when it's not used to it at all. So basically, the Anabaptists, one of the primary beliefs was just you have to be baptized as a willful act on your own part. It can't just be, when I was a kid, they sprinkled some shit on me, because they're just like, that's not a choice you made. That has nothing to do with your character.
It's kind of legenesis, probably, the whole born again sentiment.
It's argued whether or not modern-day Baptists derived off of the Anabaptists or not. Both sides kind of deny it, but there is some historical evidence, but it's not really important. Anabaptists believe, blah, 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 that baptism is only valid when the candidate confesses his or her faith in Christ and wants to be baptized. The believer's baptism is opposed to baptism of infants, who are not able to make conscious decisions to be baptized. So we already went through all that.
Right.
The early Anabaptists formulated their religious beliefs in the Schleitheim Confession.
Ooh.
A document endorsed...
Sounds like a porn.
Welcome to the Schleitheim Confession. I will extract your confession.
Oh, Scheiße.
It sounds like a brutal German porn that you'd cry.
Extract my confession from mine and Schwanz.
It was a document that was unanimously endorsed by an early meeting of the Anabaptists in Switzerland. It was chaired by a dude named Michael Sattler. He was the leader of the Swiss and Southern German Anabaptist movement. Shortly after the Schleitheim Conference, Sattler was arrested by... Austrian Roman Catholic authorities put on trial and executed.
Well, that sounds like a
all right. Well, that's the end of the Amish, then, right?
No. Well, let's talk about the basic articles. There were 7 basic articles of the Schleitheim Confession, which baptism, which is what we just discussed.
Okay.
So that's one of their that's one of their big differences. The ban, excommunication. A Christian should live with discipline and walk in the way of righteousness. Those who slip and fall into sin should be admonished twice in secret, but the third offense should be openly disciplined and banned as a final recourse. This should always occur prior to the breaking of bread. So basically, the rules are you slide into sin.
You out.
You get 2 warnings.
Right.
On the third strike, you either get some severe punishment or public discipline, or you're even just banned outright.
Right.
Damn, dude.
Breaking of bread. Only those who have been baptized can take part in communion. Participation in communion is a remembrance of Christ's body and blood. The real blood and body of Christ are not present in the sacraments.
So that's actually a contentious issue.
Right.
Catholics believe
the
in
transubstantiation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it like becomes Christ's body and blood in your stomach.
They believe it's the literal blood and body of Christ. The Anabaptists are saying no. It's just symbolic. So in a lot of ways, you'll notice that they're actually a bit more rational, even though obviously fundamentally the religion is flawed.
The next one I'm looking at, separation from evil. I'm not liking that one. I want to be with evil.
The community of Christians, this is separation of evil. The community of Christians shall have no association with those who remain in disobedience and a spirit of rebellion against God. There can be no fellowship with the wicked in the world. There can be no participation in works, church services, meetings, and civil affairs of those who live in contradiction to the commandments, the commands of God, Catholics, and Protestants. all evil must be resisted, including their weapons of force, such as sword and armor. So there's a pacifism thing in there, but that's actually extrapolated.
That's actually pretty big, because it's basically saying you have to separate yourself from anybody who does wickedness, so you can't do business with them, you can't. This is like, you can see the germination of the Amish way of life in this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is why they're so isolated. Pastors in the church, this is interesting, they should be men of good repute. Some of the responsibilities they must faithfully carry out. It's, you know, all the typical pastor shit. But this is what's interesting to me. They are supported by the church, but must also be disciplined if they sin.
Yeah.
So if the pastor's caught sinning, they're just as much culpable for their sins as anybody else. There's no free pass.
This is a part of that fucking the Protestant Reformation was people were tired of these holy men that were not beholden to any fucking authority, that were never disciplined, that were living lives of open sin and flaunting it.
Well, the utter corruption of the Catholic Church and fucking
so,
medieval art.
So, you know, here they are trying to keep that from happening in their new splinter branch.
So the sword, that's pacifism, non-resistance. Says violence must not be used in any circumstance. The way of non-violence is patterned after the example of Christ, who never exhibited violence in the face of persecution or as punishment for sin.
Wait a minute. Didn't he beat the shit out of a bunch of moneylenders in the temple and shit?
He
brandished a sword at them and...
He destroyed their operations. I don't know if it
that's
ever...
That's violence.
I don't know if it ever explicitly says he harmed them, but...
That's violence.
Well, he never exhibited violence in the face of persecution or punishment for sin.
I thought he beat the fucking moneylenders and shit. Am I wrong?
I don't know. A Christian should not pass judgment in worldly disputes. It is not appropriate for a Christian to serve as a magistrate. A magistrate acts according to the rules of the world, not according to the rules of heaven. Their weapons are worldly, but the weapons of a Christian are spiritual. So they're not...
They're like, don't get into politics.
Right. And they're not supposed to be involved in any of the ways of the world. It's all about the rejection of this world, and their whole lives is just preparing for
God
and Jesus.
Right.
And as for whether or not Jesus used violence, my understanding was that he did. But when is the scripture ever really corresponded to what people get out of it, you know? Oaths. No oaths should be taken because Jesus prohibited a taking of oaths and swearing. Testifying is not the same thing as swearing. When a person bears testimony, they are testifying about the present, whether it be good or evil. I don't understand.
It just seems like
I don't really care.
It just seems like a lot of this is a big fuck you to Catholicism.
Yeah, a lot of it's just like, hey, you Catholic fucks, we're different.
Yeah, I mean, I like the don't make oaths thing, though, because those are just so often and easily broken. So I can get behind that, too. I like this Protestant Reformation shit, man. They got a good head on their shoulders here.
Anabaptist.
I think I might become an Anabaptist tonight. I might change my
mind. You're going to have to shave your mustache off.
Well, Paul, you might
I didn't read nothing about mustaches in there, did you? We just read the whole goddamn fucking thing.
Well, Paul, you might not be aware of this, but apparently, according to somewhere on the internet, I converted to Christianity.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
Taylor told me about it. She's like, dude, you know you converted? I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
All right, my brother in Christ.
Yeah, so TJ, you're actually outnumbered now, dude.
Cool. So here's some Anabaptists.
Yeah, that motherfucker's still got a fucking mustache. See?
That's true.
Damn.
It's over, dude. I'm an Anabaptist.
Beard.
Look at how fucked up his kid looks. What the hell happened? His eyes are lopsided.
Down syndrome kid, but
is
whatever.
Is that his sister or something? What the fuck happened? I don't know.
His sister wife.
Look at that, dude. That's a pretty nice outfit, man. They got these fucking tunics on, the resplendent fucking shoes.
Looks
and
like
shit.
He's well-to-do, too. He's got a nice new straw roof on that peasant hut back there.
Bet you in that pocket he's got a big-ass pipe he's about to break out and fucking smoke.
Oh,
that,
you know what's
you know
in that
what?
Pocket.
You know they can smell. I'm pretty sure Amish can still smoke, can't they?
He's about to tell Annabelle to
they
take little
smoke?
Hezekiah inside so
well,
father
these ones,
can smoke.
These people, these Anabaptists, they probably were still smoking.
So anyway, because religion just constantly does this. By the way, for such an important historical figure, this is the best piece of artwork depicting him I can find. But,
well, I mean, what are you going to do? He's a dude from, what is it, the 14th?
17th century.
Okay. Nobody painted him?
Well, the thing is that the Amish and all the Anabaptists,
oh, yeah, they issue
they don't,
that.
They don't really believe in self-expression, so they don't really produce a ton of artists of most kinds.